Good morning. Good to see you this morning. Good to be with you. I'm going to ask you if you have a Bible to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one there somewhere on the row with the songbooks. You know, we've been singing about how things are wonderful, and that is so true. And we may come and we may look around at these other people and say, wow, for them everything is wonderful. It's not so wonderful for me. You know, we've been looking recently at some attacks that Satan uses against the believer. And we've used attacks, actually we've spoken about attacks that many of you here have turned in anonymously that Satan used against you. And we're going to continue that thought this morning as we look at another series of cards that were turned in last fall. And what we're going to be looking at specifically this morning is being attacked by discouragement. Discouragement. Now, discouragement is something that touches every human being. It touches some more than others. Is caused by different things in different lives, and it hits people at different degrees. Some experience what they might call extreme discouragement. Others may be just a little bit discouraged, but we all know what it is to be discouraged. Just want to read some of the anonymous comments or anonymous attacks that were turned in, and you can see why I kind of lump these together under this thought of discouragement. And here's what some of them said on the cards. Present finances, aloneness, battling desire for a child after a miscarriage. Does God not want me to have this desire? Unable to make up my mind or to decide, not certain. Giving in to negativity. You are not loved. Moving forward with our future, every time we feel like we take a step in the right direction, we get knocked back down. Lack of Bible study due to discouragement, depression, sickness, health, money, our children, our government, health concerns, depression. No one understands me, loneliness, emotion. I am easily discouraged both in my Christian witness and in challenges in my personal life. There is no hope. You know, things are wonderful, and that's true. Positionally, things are wonderful. From God's perspective, things are wonderful, but we live in a world that's been touched by sin, and there are many, many discouragements that we face in this life. And many of you here this morning may be in a time of discouragement. You may have written one of those things that were on those cards. You may not have written one of them, but you may be able to relate to all of them, or at least to some of them. The pressures of life, the sense of having no one to turn to, unfulfilled expectations, uncertainty, seeing the bad and expecting the worst, sensing the impossibility of things ever changing for the better, feeling unloved, wanting to quit, lacking motivation, lacking energy, being discouraged. You know, we can go to the Word of God and we can begin in the very opening book and we can go all the way through the last book of the Bible and we can find person after person who lived real life and who was discouraged at times. Some, again, some greater discouragement than others. But so many in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, whether it be David in the Psalms, whether it be Jeremiah in lamenting in the Lamentations, whether it be Nehemiah looking at what was going on in Jerusalem as the city had been destroyed, whether it was the people of Israel as we studied going across the desert, or whether it was in the New Testament, the disciples frustrated, the early believers uncertain at times. And this morning we're going to take as an example Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at this chapter briefly. We're not going to be able to look at all the details of the chapter, but we want to make an application this morning, an application to those of us who are being attacked by discouragement. And as one of the cards said, discouragement can hinder our lives spiritually. Someone had written a lack of Bible study due to discouragement. And we could put a lack of many things and fill in that blank in our spiritual lives, hindered because of discouragement. Maybe one of these areas we read, maybe another area. We know Paul had plenty of reason to be discouraged. Paul knew what it was to be attacked by discouragement. Now here in chapter 4, we're going to start out, and we're just going to begin by reading two verses, verses 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. And here's what Paul says about himself and those who were serving with him in the gospel. "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." He knew what it was to be hard pressed, to be surrounded in his life by pressure and tribulation and affliction and discouragement. He knew what it was to wake up in the morning and on every side to be facing pressure. He knew what it was to be hard pressed. Paul knew what it was through experience to be perplexed, to lack the resources in himself to deal with the things that were coming that day, to be uncertain about which way to turn and about how to handle the difficulties of life. In himself, he said, you know, we're perplexed. He knew what it was to be persecuted, to be harassed by people, his enemies, to be harassed by Satan and his demonic forces, to be harassed by the circumstances of life. And Paul could say, hey, we know what it is to be struck down, to be knocked down flat on our faces by the circumstances that we are going through in life. He said, we've been there. In fact, we are there. 2 Corinthians was written as a defense of his apostleship. He was being attacked before people who knew him, but he was being attacked by other people as being an imposter. You can go in other places in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and chapter 12, and you can read about some of the difficulties that he faced, as well as looking in the book of Acts. And we don't have time to look there today. But he knew what it was to face discouragement. But Paul also was able to say, though we're discouraged, we're not crushed. We're not left without an escape. Though we're discouraged, we're not in despair. Our own resources may not be enough, but we know that we're not left to our own resources. We're not hopeless. We're not forsaken. We're not abandoned by God and left alone. We're not destroyed. We're not ruined. Life is not ending because of the present discouragement that we are facing. How did he get through? How did this man, Paul, who faced more reason to be discouragement than all of us in this room put together, probably, if you read about his life, how did he get through that? How not only did he get through it, but how did this man proved to be effective in his life for the Lord Jesus in spite of facing so much discouragement? I'd like for us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to very quickly just draw out some principles that Paul shares of his own testimony in his particular situation of discouragement. And it's going to be different from yours, just as all those on that list were different one from another, and as yours are different from someone across from you, maybe even someone beside you. But first, let's just read the chapter together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And you can listen for Paul's discouragement, but also for his secrets to deal with those attacks. "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who is shown in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul faced discouragement. And yet I believe with all my heart that Paul could truly sing that things are wonderful. He dealt with the discouragement of life, attacked by discouragement. How can we deal with that? We're going to very quickly look at seven things that we see in this passage. Just pull them out. And we're going to just very quickly give them to you and not go into a lot of detail, but I hope that they'll be an encouragement to you. Seven things to remember when you're facing discouragement. First of all, there is work to be done. And that should say verse 1. Sorry, I put the wrong verse on there. That should say verse 1. There is work to be done. Paul speaks of having received a ministry. Now, Paul's ministry was unique to him. But you know what? Your ministry is unique to you. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, He has a ministry or ministries in which you are to be involved in your daily life. It's not something that you go do just sometimes. It's a part of who you are. It's a service for the Lord. But Paul realized that he had that ministry not because of who he was, not because he was so strong and so great that God said, hey, there's Paul. You know, I can really use him. Look what a great man he is. No, he said, we've received mercy. Mercy is when someone looks at someone else and says, that person is in need. And they have compassion on that person. That's mercy. And God looked at Paul, and God looks at you, and God looks at me, and He says, they are in need. They don't have the ability in themselves. The Lord Jesus gave Himself for us. He rose again from the dead after dying on the cross for our sins. And those of us who have received Him as Savior, we have been placed in the body of Christ. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12 that He put us there exactly where He wanted us to be. Gave us the abilities He wanted us to have that we might serve Him for His glory and His kingdom. That we might have purpose and meaning, whatever the situation in life, whatever our discouragement. We don't want to allow our discouragement to turn our eyes away from the reason that we're here. God saves us. If he wasn't going to use us, he could just take us on to heaven. But he's got a purpose in our lives. And so Paul says, we don't lose heart. He knew that discouragement could hinder his work for the Lord. You may be saying, I'm uncertain. I don't know which way to turn. Or every time I try to step forward, I get knocked back down in my life. Paul said to the Galatians that I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul told the same believers here in Corinth later in this book that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. When you're discouraged, don't let that discouragement turn your attention away from the work that is to be done. So when you're attacked by discouragement, remember there is work to be done. Secondly, notice this. And I'm sorry, I've got all these verses wrong here on the screen, but that'll maybe help you realize I'm weak. So the Lord's strength is made perfect in my weakness. So, verse 2, actually, we find that we're being watched. And this should affect our attitude. He says there that, you know, even though we may be tempted to manipulate things and to do things our own way, he said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to commend ourselves to the conscience of every man. We know that we're being watched by men, but also we know that we're living our lives in the sight of God. In the sight of God. We're being watched by man and watched by God. And those who know that we're believers in the Lord Jesus are those who will find that out. They are watching us and seeing how we're reacting to discouragement. Because you know what? They're going through discouragement. They're struggling with these same things. And they're watching others who claim to be Christians and see how they'll deal with that discouragement. An opportunity for a testimony. Not in ourselves again. It's not that we're strong. It's not that Paul was strong. He knew he was weak. He knew it was all because of God's mercy, as God had compassion on him. God spoke to Satan one day. We read about it in the book of Job. And he said, have you noticed my servant Job? We can only put so much of our being onto God, even though we're made in his image. But can you almost hear God saying, like a father saying of his child, which he was, have you seen my child? You know, God is pleased. God is pleased when we respond to the discouragement of life in the way that he would have us to respond. When we walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, Colossians 1 and verse 10. You know, there are those times when we feel hopeless. It may be your nature to look negatively, to expect the worst in every situation. But as you're facing that discouragement, remember that you're being watched. Remember that the testimony that God desires you to have is not from you, but rather it's from the Lord Jesus living his life through you. So when you're attacked by discouragement, remember, there's work to be done. Don't lose focus. Secondly, remember, you're being watched. The third thing we see here when we're facing discouragement is to not let Satan blind us. Now, I finally got the verses right here, so you can look and if you want to write them down. Verses 3 and 4. And we want to be accurate. This speaks of accuracy. Because we see here in verses 3 and 4, Satan's work against unbelievers, keeping them blind. You know what? We were all there one time. Some of you may still be there. There may be some here in this room that have never received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And Satan is blinding you to the glorious good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that you can be saved by grace through faith, trusting Him as your Savior. Those of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we have had the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ shine onto us. But Satan hadn't stopped his work against us. Satan hasn't stopped trying to blind us. In this same book, chapter 11, we find Paul speaking to the Corinthian believers, and he says, I'm concerned lest Satan, who deceived Eve by his craftiness, may also corrupt your minds from the simplicity which is in Christ. There in that same chapter, 2 Corinthians 11, in verse 14, Paul makes it very clear that Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So you see, Satan is working against the believer too. He wants to blind us to the realities of who God is. That God knows everything. That God is all powerful. That God loves us and nothing can separate us from that love. That God is trustworthy and we can count on Him no matter how difficult our circumstances are. He wants to blind us to the reality that God has a plan, God has a purpose, and everything in the life of the believer is working together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Satan doesn't want us to see that. He wants the discouragement to become, as it were, a blinder to keep us from seeing what God is doing. It's easy to believe the lies of Satan, especially when we're discouraged. It's easy to forget when Satan comes against us to make us question God. It's easy to forget the reality that the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us as our great high priest. That the one who died on the cross for us and rose again is the one who is leading us every step as the way, the truth, and the life. That the Lord Jesus Himself is protecting us as the good shepherd who has given His life for the sheep, who is energizing us as the true vine, who is nourishing us as the bread of life, who is reviving us as the resurrection and the life. We need to have our vision sharpened through exposure daily to the Word of God. Those unfulfilled desires of our lives. Satan wants to blind us to the fact that God is working and God has a reason and God is not forsaking. Attacked by discouragement? Remember these things. And then a fourth thing that we can draw here from verses 5 to 7 and 10 through 12. Don't forget that it's not about you. Ultimately, our lives are not about us. Look there again at verse 5. Paul says, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. He said, you know what? My life is not about me, but rather it's about the Lord Jesus. He's the focus. He's my aim. And then, you know what I am? I'm really a servant. I'm a slave to you. You know, I'm here to minister to you, not to minister to myself. We're in the book of Romans that even the Lord Jesus did not please Himself. His focus was upon His Father's will and upon others. No, it's God in verse 6 who is shown in our hearts. Verse 7 reminds us that this treasure, the gospel, the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and all that we have in Him, all of that we carried around in these earthen containers we call bodies. And that body would include not only the physical, but also the emotional and the mental. And Satan comes against us and he tries to discourage us. But we've got to remember, we're in this body and we're going to have discouragements. We're going to face difficulties. We're going to be vulnerable to discouragement. But you know what? The power is not from us. The power is from God Himself. And that's what we want other people to see. Just there, we also recognize in verses 10 through 12 that we're carrying about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus. We're susceptible not only to physical death, but also to discouragement and all of the other issues of being in this body. But as we go through life in this body, in this humanness, there, in the dying of the Lord Jesus, is also the opportunity for the life of the Lord Jesus to be revealed in us. As we deal with discouragement through the power of the Lord Jesus. As our brother sang this morning, are still and know that He is God. And allow Him to work in us and through us. And when we don't feel loved and when we don't feel understood, as much as we need those things in our humanness, yet remembering, you know what, ultimately it's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus, and I know He loves me. And it's about others, and my goal is not necessarily for them to love me, but for me to love them and to evidence that to them. When we're attacked by discouragement, remember. Remember this other truth that we see in Paul's life. Take God at His word. Take God at His word. Verse 13, he speaks from the Psalms. He quotes from the Psalms, I believed and therefore I spoke. And he said, you know what? We believe. We believe what God has said, and therefore we speak in accordance with what God has said. We take God at His word. And as we go through discouragement in this life, it's an opportunity for us to be turned back to God, to trust the one who has chosen to speak to us. God has chosen to speak to you through His word. We have a copy of His word, at least one. We're blessed. There are believers around the world and unbelievers around the world who have no copy of God's word. And we have it available to us. And we can read what God has said. And to whom much is given, much is required. And we can hear God speaking, His promises revealed. We can increase in the knowledge of God as we are in the Word of God. And then we can speak and act in accordance with what we truly believe. We go through depression. Or we go through negativity. And yet in those conditions, we're able to turn to God, and in the simplicity and the weakness of our beings, we can say, God, I believe what You say. And I'm going to act in accordance with that. Take God at His word. When you're attacked by discouragement, look at verse 15. Give thanks for His grace. And all that Paul was going through, he said, for all things are for Your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. You know what? No matter how difficult my life might get, no matter how much of a struggle I might have in the different areas of life, no matter how alone I may feel, or how uncertain I may be, or how lacking in resources my bank account may tell me I am, or my heart may tell me I am, things would be so much worse were it not for the grace of God. Can you stop and pause and contemplate about your life apart from God's grace, from God giving you what you don't deserve, from God blessing me in ways that I don't deserve, because I don't deserve any of that. I don't deserve any good thing. It's only because of the Lord Jesus. And as I think about that, my heart should overflow with thankfulness, both from me and hopefully from others who can look at my life and see a testimony, who can look at your life and know something of the discouragement you're going through, but can praise God. And you know, I do that. There are so many of you sitting out there right now that I know some of the things you're going through, and I look at your life and I am so encouraged by how you deal with discouragement. And I thank God for that. I thank Him for His grace in your life and His grace in my life. And then finally, Paul closes with those last three verses. I never grow tired of these verses. And there he speaks of that truth of calculating by eternity. And not looking at things from the angle of this world, but rather looking at things from the angle of God's viewpoint, looking down from the heavenlies and seeing things from eternity. Look at how he starts verse 16. He repeats that little thought. Therefore, we do not lose heart. In essence, hey, I got every reason to lose heart. I got plenty of reasons to give up. I got plenty of reasons to throw in the towel. I've got plenty of reasons to stick my head in the sand and say, forget it. But I don't lose heart. Yes, my outward man, me and my humanity, I'm wasting away. And yes, some of these things are true. And yes, I may feel alone. And you know what? Paul felt alone at times, like everybody had abandoned him. And nobody cared about him on this earth. And he didn't have any money to buy the next meal. He knew what that was like. He knew what discouragement was and is. And being uncertain of which way to go next. But he said, you know, that's part of being a human being. But I want to look at the inward person. And there by the Spirit of God, I want to find myself being renewed. I want to calculate the situations of life. I want to weigh them out. I want to add them up and put them on God's scale. And when I put all of my discouragements and I pile them up on this side of the scale, and I say, that is a heavy load to bear. But then I look over here and God puts the glory of eternity. What awaits us in heaven through the Lord Jesus? And Paul said, I put that on the other side of the scale, and all those discouragements go way up in the air because there's no comparison. It makes those seem light. And it makes them seem momentary because it's only for this life of my humanness, while in heaven it's going to be for all eternity, that I'm going to enjoy those glories. And when I struggle with finances here and health here and problems with children here and dealing with a government and economy here, I put all of that and all of the discouragements, I should anyway, on the scale and look at that against the power and the glory and the weight of God. When we're attacked by discouragement, remember, there's work to be done. Remember, we have a testimony. We're being watched. Remember, Satan is in this. God is in it, but Satan's in it too. Be aware of what he's trying to do. Remember that it's not about you. It's not about me. Take God at his word. Give thanks for his grace. Calculate, not by time, but by eternity. There's so many places we could go in Scripture. And we're not going to go otherwise. I am going to encourage you, though, at some time to read Psalm 77. But I do want us to close this morning. I'm going to close in prayer. And then, brother, instead of playing a number on the piano, I've got a song I'd like to play for you. And the words hopefully will be up here as well. It's by a songwriter named Laura Story. Some of you know this song. It's called Blessings. Her husband, Martin, was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And through the experience of dealing with that discouragement, she learned so much about the way God works. And as I listened to this song, I thought this just ties in as such a great capping off of what we've been talking about this morning. So I trust that you'll meditate as you think on this song, and we'll close with that and you'll be dismissed. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of Paul. We thank you, Father, for how he dealt with discouragement. And Lord, we want to come to you now and confess that we often get discouraged. Some of us extremely so. And Father, we know that putting these 7 points up on the screen behind us, even hearing them, even agreeing with them, Father, we know that does not make life easy. But Father, we know that when we deal with discouragement, in your way, Father, we know that we do see the wonder in it all. And truly we can sing, it is wonderful. It's wonderful. Father, what's ahead is wonderful, and what we're going through even now, you're going to use it in a wonderful way. Father, encourage the saints. Lord, please put your hand upon each one. Encourage them in the discouragement they're going through. Father, any who don't know you here as Savior, Father, might they realize that they can know the Lord Jesus as Savior and have Him carry their load. So we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity, we pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering, and all the while you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleep nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not. Nights, all your mercies in disguise.